So it's been quite a week for me. It's always interesting when Barry asks me to preach because it happens about once every 6 months, and it's just enough that you kind of enjoyed it after it's done, and then it comes up again, and you're like, "Oh, right, okay." So it's good. It's good because it fits with the theme of what I want to talk about today, and I've titled our message "Burn the Ships." Now, you might wonder what that means. Some of you might know what that means. Others might say, "What the heck is he talking about, burning the ships?" And the whole concept of burning the ships comes mostly from a story. This is actually a true story that happened back in 1519. So we're going back a ways. There was a Spanish explorer by the name of Hernando Cortez, and he sailed into the harbor of Veracruz, Mexico. He brought with him only about 600 men, and yet over the next 2 years, his vastly outnumbered forces were able to defeat Montezuma and all the warriors of the Aztec Empire. That made Cortez a conqueror of all Mexico. What was incredible about how this feat was accomplished is when two prior expeditions had failed, even to establishing a colony on Mexican soil. But here's the secret. Cortez knew from the very beginning that he and his men faced incredible odds. He knew that the road before them would be dangerous and difficult. He knew that his men would be tempted to abandon their quest and return to Spain. And so, as soon as Cortez and his men had come ashore and unloaded their provisions, he ordered their entire fleet of 11 ships destroyed. His men stood on the shore and watched as their only possibility of retreat burned and sank. And from that point on, they knew beyond any doubt that there was no return, there was no turning back. Nothing lay behind them but an empty ocean. Their only option was to go forward, to conquer or die. Pretty heavy duty, right? You're committed. As they watched these ships burning down, can you just imagine? Now they went on to pull off this incredible feat, and he did become the conqueror of Mexico with only 600 men. It took them about 2 years. So let me read you another story. This is out of the Old Testament. And for this, we're going to go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, and it's more or less 15 through 21. I've skipped one verse in between there. Then the Lord told him, and this is Elijah calling, this is calling Elisha. And some of you, if you don't know the story about Elijah and Elisha, Elijah was a great prophet in Israel. Elisha became his, basically the one in his place that God had called. So this is the story where Elijah is actually calling Elisha to follow him. Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael, not sure how you say that, to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Meholah, to replace you as my prophet." So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. So Elisha not only chooses to accept the call, but he slaughters his oxen and feeds them to his neighbors, burning his own plowing equipment to cook the meat. By doing this, he's publicly declaring his intention to leave his former way of life and follow Elijah. Doesn't make a lot of sense to burn up your equipment, right? Kind of a radical thing to do. But he's saying, I'm done. That's my old life. That's what I was doing. I'm now being called to something new. And he publicly declared it, and he did it in front of everybody in such a way that there was no question about it. So in his, that was like his burning his ships. So these are two powerful illustrations of what it looks like to turn your back on your former way of life, to embrace a whole new path with no turning back. So for some of us, the prospect of leaving everything you know is just too huge of a risk. It's going way out on a limb. Some of us are planners here, I'm sure. It makes no sense to do that. Wouldn't it make sense to kind of maybe keep those oxen there? You know, maybe the thing with Elijah, you know, maybe it might not work out, right? Maybe it might be, we'll give this a go, try it for a couple months, right? I got a backup plan. I got my oxen waiting. Hey, Joe, can you take care of my oxen here? Keep that plow in good shape. I'll let you use it. But if things don't pan out, I'll be back. He wasn't even thinking that. We're done. Burn it up. Let's have a party. You know, and most of us aren't going to be called to apprentice under a famous prophet or be part of a conquering army in a foreign land. But we all need to discern the voice of God for ourselves. We need to determine where God is asking us to go as best we can, and then make a decision to go in that direction. Once we believe we've determined that, we need to pursue it with 100%. And I think that's what God is showing us in these examples. And you know, Jesus thought this way too. If we go to Luke chapter 9, verse 59 to 62, this is what he said to two people that were thinking of following him. He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." You know, when we read that, that might seem a little harsh. You know, at least let the guy go back and say goodbye to his family, right? I mean, Elisha got to sort of do that. He got to go back and, you know, have a feast with all his neighbors. But I think what it is, and in a lot of cases with Jesus, sometimes he knew exactly where the root of the issue was with an individual. He could read that in people. This is not in my notes, but I was just thinking about the young rich ruler. You remember that story? Where he told him to sell everything he had and follow him. He didn't tell everybody to do that, but he told the young rich ruler to do that because he knew in his heart, he could see in his heart, that was the thing that he had to give up. And that's why he asked him of that, to him. He didn't ask Lazarus to sell everything he had. We know from Scripture, Lazarus was wealthy. He had a lot. Never asked him to do that. With these two men, I mean, think about the second guy. The second guy says, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." He didn't have to say he was going to follow him, right? He could have just said, "I'm going to think about this first before I say I'm going to follow him." And I think sometimes that's what we do too, right? "Yeah, Lord, I'll do that. But I haven't really counted the cost. I haven't really thought it through." So we make a promise, but we don't make a commitment. And over, I see God, he's looking for a commitment. We can all promise things. We can say things. We can have great intentions, right? like that old saying that, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But in the end, it's a commitment that actually means something. And I think there's something we really need to get in this, because God's looking for a commitment. He's looking for action. You know, it says he'd prefer you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Have you ever been thirsty and you take a swig of lukewarm water? It's so unsatisfying, right? And it's or like a coffee. I was thinking about that. You know, if when your coffee goes cold, and that double double's about two hours old, and it's just sitting there on your desk, and you take a swig of it, and it's just like, it's coffee, but oh, it's gross, right? I'd rather go to Starbucks and have a cold coffee or something like that, right? It's all in, right? And Jesus was all in. His disciples were all in. They left everything and they followed him. Jesus would prefer that they would be all in or nothing at all. So let's look at a few more words from the book of Luke. This particular slide I don't have in here. Luke 16:13 is the scripture. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard that scripture. Now, is it wrong to make money? Of course not. We need money in this society to live. It takes money to run this church. It takes money to put gas in your car so that you can come to church. It's just a part of life. And the Bible has many examples of healthy, wealthy followers of God. There's people in the Bible with a lot of money. We can possess money. We can even have a lot of money. But when we serve money, that's where we run into issues. See, I have a belief that making money is a direct result of serving others well. If I serve well, I'll get rewarded for it. On the other hand, just desiring money by itself will not cause you to serve others well, nor will it guide you in the right way to serve others. God wants us to come to a place where we can say, Lord, even if I'm not making a lot of money, I'm going to serve you and serve others well. Whether I don't have enough money or whether I have lots of money, I'm still going to serve you and others well. You know, I'm a business owner. I love to serve. I love the business that we run. A lot of business owners I know, they're some of the most serving people that I know. And I know we're serving God more than we're serving money, because some of us aren't making a lot of money. But, you know, that's changing. But it's not about making money. It's about serving. And I just have that belief. You know, somebody can scoff at somebody that has a lot of money. That person has figured out a way to meet people's needs in such a way that they're being rewarded. There's nothing wrong with that. If you do a good job of that, you're going to get rewarded. You're going to make money. But here's what it really boils down to. God doesn't want us to have a divided heart. We don't want to be in the no man's land of mediocrity, where we're placing our value in this over here, and we're placing a little bit of value on God. If we settle for a divided heart, that's where it leads us. James 1:7-8, and this is not, forgive me, I don't have this slide also, so you'll just have to listen or look it up, but James 1:7-8 says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. If we want to receive from God, then we need to be all in. And if we're going to live the type of life that I know God wants us to live, then we need to burn the bridges behind us. We need to set those boats of safety and security on fire. We need to invite the neighbors, slaughter the oxen, start cutting that plow up into firewood. I can hear your logic now. That's crazy. That doesn't even make sense. Why would you do that? Why would God want me to do that? So then I ask you this. You know the story of Abraham and Isaac, right? The promised son, absolute miracle of conception. Sarah, a mother that was already into her 90s, who gave birth to Isaac. The only rightful heir to the future lineage of Abraham. You know, the one destined to be the father of many nations. His offspring, it says, as numerous as the stars in the sky. That was the promise that God gave him. And then God asks him to sacrifice Isaac. The only possibility for this on the altar. Huh? It doesn't even make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense. But we know how the story ends. When God says this to him in Genesis 22:12, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." God needed to know that Abraham was all in. He needed to know that Abraham was willing to lay it all on the line. He needed to burn the ships. He needed to burn his ships before he could advance to the next level. And that was his test. And there's going to be areas in your life. There's going to be choices. There's going to be times. There's going to be things. You're going to be presented with a choice. And you can choose to hang on to that thing. You can choose to stick with that plan B, that backup plan. You know, I don't know. It could be anything. It could be even just something like maybe God's telling you to move on from the career that you have. Maybe he's got something different for you. Maybe you're comfortable with that job, and he's asking you, "I want you to lay that on the altar. I want you to trust me in this area." I mean, we just heard a story from Jeff. I thought that was so fitting what he said with what I was sharing today. He burned his bridge, man. I know you got a pretty nice job, right? And I'm sure they're still working with you and all that, but still, I mean, that's a big deal, right? Like to just say, "This is what I need to do. This is what I believe God is showing me." You got to pull the trigger on that thing and do it. And believe me, you're going to have those moments where you're doubting, where your faith is being tested, just as Abraham's was. I mean, you could just imagine the crazy thoughts going through your head. Like, what am I doing? This is crazy. I'm about to kill my own son. But somewhere in there, there's a trust, there's a knowing. Like, it's so important that we hear the voice of God, that we can discern that for ourselves. Nobody can tell you that. Nobody could go to Jeff and say, "This is what I believe the Lord is telling you to do, Jeff, and you need to do that." It's not going to cut it. Jeff has to hear that for himself from God. Every one of us have that connection with God. Every one of us can hear from God in our hearts. So can we make that resolve to trust God and follow through no matter what? Can we lean on him? Is it settled in our heart? I love that word that Ben had, because that to me spoke to me too. Is it settled? Is it a done deal? Because it was for Elisha. It was for Abraham. It was for Jesus' disciples. I mean, God's pretty clear on this. He doesn't want us in that no man's land. He wants it to be a settled, done deal. You know, like I mentioned earlier, trying to put my water here. I'm a business owner. You know, and I love hanging out with other business owners too, because we all, it's got to be settled, right? It's got to be, you can't, if you start a business and you're not 100% in, if you're not all in, you know, most businesses fail, and these are just the statistics on it, but most businesses fail within their first year. And then I can't remember what the numbers were, but then as it goes from there, there's a certain number that fail after 3 years, there's a certain number that fail after 5 years, right? And man, I remember moments where it was like, I don't know how we're going to pay this bill. I don't know how we're going to pay this mortgage, right? And Jerry remembers some of these times where I'm just praying. I'm like, God, I need a sale here. I need a sale quick. And I remember like going into the mailbox and pulling out this check, and it's just enough to pay the mortgage and squeak through. And, you know, and I kind of really just jumped out of the boat on mine too, like where I didn't go to the bank, I didn't get a loan, I had no plan B. It was like, I just had a belief in my heart, man, I can, you know, there's got to be a way to do this. I remember times where we were sharing a car, and Jerry was still working at Staples, and we had the one little Toyota Corolla, and she needed the car that day, right? And so she went off to Staples, and I had to go out and do some sales. So we live in Oyster River, right? So there's only two options. Well, I guess there's three, but you're either taking a bus or you're hitchhiking, or it's a really long walk. So, you know, I thought, I'm just going to get some change. I'll get on the bus, right? So that's what I did. I got on the bus. I went to Discovery Foods, which is one of the clients I was pitching to. And I went in there, and I sold them a $10,000 camera system. I was so stoked, right? Here I just got off the bus. I went in there. I had a belief in my heart, and I just said, you know, I didn't tell them I got off the bus. I came in with my clipboard and everything. Yeah, let's look at this. What are we doing? And I just, you know, it's just when you, that's the kind of stuff you got to do when you're running a bit. Like, I mean, when you're starting out, and I know there's other business owners here, right? Maybe lift your hands. How many we got here? 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I love you guys, right? Because you know what I'm talking about. And but man, what happens when you push through that moment, when you push through that thing, and you actually succeed? Oh, that's like gold. That's like, I can do anything, man. I could conquer the world, right? But man, do you want to give up, right? There's those moments where the going gets tough, and the chips are down, and you're thinking, I don't know. And a lot of people, some they don't make it through that, right? And they end up giving up. But there's something in this, man, and I just get so cranked up. The more I think about it, like all week, when I think about how God wants us to be all in, there's something that happens when we settle something in our heart and we say, no matter what. I'd like to share one other little quick story with you too, and I think I might have shared this here before. But there was another time, and again, it's God's taught me so many lessons with the business that I'm running. But I think I might have been 2, 3 years into it, and you know, it wasn't good, right? Sales were down. I owed a lot of money to the suppliers. It wasn't a great scenario. I wasn't really talking about it a lot. I wasn't really telling Jerry much about it and stuff. And it got to a point where, you know, they're wanting their money, right? And things are starting to get behind. And my parents remember this too, because they were kind of involved with me at that time. And it got to a point where one of the companies or one of the suppliers actually turned it over to collections. And nobody likes to be in that spot, right? Like, it really sucks. And people know about it, and you're struggling, and oh, I gotta have, you know, I'm trying to borrow money where I can borrow and this and that. And I'm just thinking, man, what's going on, right? And I had that moment, and at the time, what I started doing is I just started listening to a lot of Joseph Prince messages. And that was fitting the bill. Like that was working for me. So I would be in my van and I would just play these things over and over and over. And you talk about, you know, if you have lack, what you need to do is expand your tent pegs. You need to go even bigger and put a demand on God. Like, wow, okay, that's a total backwards way of thinking. Okay, but hey, man, we're in a sinking ship right now. I got to do something, right? So I took the last $700 that I had, and I gave it. I gave it to help somebody. I saw a need. God showed me, and I felt it was a spirit, and I felt God telling me, you need to help this person. And in my mind, it made no sense whatsoever. And I took that money, and I gave it away. And I remember, and I did it with Jerry, right? You remember that? And because I wasn't going to do it. Everything's in the open, okay? Either God's in it or not. Either it works or it doesn't, right? And I got to a point where I was in the back of my office, and this is when I had the little 600-square-foot office, and it had a little back section. And I got on my knees, and I remember I was kind of scared, right? And I was thinking, God, I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, if we got to shut her down, so be it, right? You just got to show me. And as I was listening to these messages, it was stirring up in me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to believe this. And right, that was right around the time I actually just signed a lease for my agreement for my lease for 2 years. I thought, if we're going to be doing this long term, well, let's do the two-year lease. It came up for renewal. I had to make a choice. Made no sense logically. Sign the two-year lease. I get on my knees. I'm in the back of my office. It's just me and God. And I said, God, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what anyone says. You are who you say you are. You said in your word, Lord, that you provide all my needs, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I believe it. Lord, you said that I would have more than enough. Thank you, God. I'm going to stop worrying. It's a settled deal. It's done. Move on. And I'm telling you, something changed. Within 2 hours, okay, the phone rings. Can't plan this stuff. Phone rings. Oh, it's one of our clients. They want to do a big camera upgrade. It was about, I don't know, maybe a $10,000 job. Right on. Got some work. I phoned the supplier. Normally, these cameras would cost me about maybe $800 each. They're kind of a high-end camera. Oh, wow, look at this. He punches it on the computer. We got a global sale on these. They're down to $269 each. Right on, I'll take 10 of them. And that one job alone, I can't remember. I made thousands of dollars. The next day, another major job that I landed. I'm telling you, it was like a flurry. In 1 month, I pretty much got right out of the position that I was in. It was job after job just came through. I couldn't keep up with it quick enough. And I tell you, like when God comes through, and I know God showed me, it was because I made a stand. I put my foot down. I said, Lord, I'm going to believe you no matter what. I'm going to believe you regardless of what's going on around me because your word says. And when you get to that point, something happens in the spirit. And this is what God wants us to get. This is why he wants us to be all in. You will, it says in the word, a double-minded man, you're not going to receive anything from God. And that sounds kind of harsh, but we have to understand the dynamics of the kingdom of God. There's something that happens when we settle in on our heart and we say, Lord, I believe it. It's the same with healing. It's the same with provision. It's the same with all types of areas in our life. And a lot of times it's because we're in this no man's land where we're sitting on the fence. Are you guys getting something out of this? I hope so. I'm getting cranked up. Bringing it back to Abraham, he was willing to lay it all on the line. He burned his ships. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in Psalms. Psalm 37:5 says, Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. And it's really key. It's that commitment, right? Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. So I want to just ask a question, maybe a few questions. Is there something in your life where you feel God wants you to make a move or to make a change? Or maybe He wants you to let go of something that's holding you back? Are you still counting on a ship to give you a way out? Is it time to let that addiction go? Or perhaps you sense God wants you to move on from your workplace or your career. Maybe you're getting a sense you don't belong there anymore. Or maybe it's something scary and exciting. Like maybe it's like maybe you want to start a business and join us crazy business owners. Or perhaps maybe there's a relationship issue. Maybe there's something you're not dealing with. Maybe you're avoiding a confrontation. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Or maybe there's somebody that you need to ask forgiveness from. Maybe there's something in the church that you just sense you need to be a part of. And you haven't burned your ship and just signed up for it. Maybe you just got to burn that ship. And go through, and follow through with whatever it is He's showing you. I want to conclude by playing a video. And, you know, the coolest thing about this it's been a cool week. I mean, it started with Toastmasters. I go to Toastmasters just to learn how to speak better and not shaking my boots when I'm in front of everybody. And it's been really good. And actually, the Toastmasters meeting that we had last Tuesday was all about commitment. And that's what got me. I was going to preach on something completely different before that. And then when they shared on commitment, something in me leapt up. And I thought, yeah, God, that's what You want. You want us to be committed. And I was looking through the internet yesterday, kind of finalizing up my sermon. And I found this video by a group called King and Country. And it was a song, and it was just like, it was this really popular song last year, and I never heard it. It was on Christian radio and everything. And the song's called Burn the Ships. Cool. And I was so inspired when I watched it, and I'll give you a little bit of a backstory behind the video, too. The fellow in the band, Luke, his wife had an addiction to pills. And it was not by any kind of intentional thing. She had she was struggling with nausea during one of her pregnancies. And so they gave her these anti-nausea type pills. And she'd take the pills. And then after a little while, it wasn't working well enough, right? So they went back to the doctor and they upped the dose. And I think this happened a couple of times. And then one day, while he's on tour or whatever, he gets a call from his wife. And she said, I have a problem. I like taking these pills, and I can't stop taking these pills. And that's when he knew he had to go home, get with his wife. And they actually went through this addiction. She went through an addiction, whatever. They weaned her off, and she got free from the pills. But the cool part about the song is that there was this moment where they took the pills, and they flushed them down the toilet. And that was her way of saying, I'm done with this. And he actually has that line in the song, flush it down, flush the pills or whatever. And then that's how the song got written. So if you can cue up that video, it's only about 4 minutes long. Watch this. And I just want to say one thing. As we're watching it, if there's something in your life, if there's something that you need to burn the ship on, hopefully this song will inspire you to do that. Ship, and you can see the moment of realization, this sucker's gonna blow, man. It's time to go. I hope that inspires you. I hope my message stirs something in you that, because you know what? I believe every one of us has a vision and a direction from God. Every one of us can burn that ship behind you, say goodbye to whatever it is you're holding on to. Because, you know, If we just play it safe, we'll never really know, right? If you don't make the choice, I'm pretty sure I know what the result is on that. You'll never know, right? But if you do take that chance and you do step out and you do burn that ship, and that ship is whatever it is to you, right? I've shared a little bit of my example, but for every one of us, there can be an incredible story here. And I just encourage you to step out. I want to just end with one scripture, Philippians 3, 13 to 14. And these are the words of Paul. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Thank you. Yeah, we can close in prayer. I don't. Maybe do you have a song, Terry, that you wanna? Do you wanna do with us? Can't top it. Okay, I'm good with that. Yeah, thank you, God. So, God, yeah, I just thank you for this group of people. I thank you so much, Lord, that I know that every one of us has a place in your kingdom. Every one of us has an amazing story that we can live, God, and that's my prayer. Lord, that we wouldn't hold back, that we would give it all, Lord. Lord, that we would just make a decision to trust you no matter what. And Lord, I pray for courage. Yeah, I pray for courage for every one of us, God. I pray, Lord, that we would have Holy Spirit, divine courage to make the choice, to make the stand. God, and I pray that if you are speaking, and I know you are speaking to certain ones here today, that, Lord, in our hearts, that we would have that resolve. But we would not just have the resolve and forget the feeling and walk away. But Lord, that we would follow through. That we would burn those ships behind us, God. And put our 100% trust in you, Lord. Lord, that it would become part of our story, that it would become a part of who we are and a part of our witness to everyone around us. And I just pray this all, God. Bless us on this wonderful day. Thank you so much for all that you are doing and continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.